We'll start reading in verse number 24 and go down to verse 29. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And you've seen in the last scripture that it was vehement, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at what? At his doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is doctrine, okay? What I'm preaching to you today is Bible doctrine from the mouth of Jesus Christ, okay? And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, the scribes had no authority. Amen. I like that. I do, buddy. Thank God. I don't know why, but it seems like for some crazy reason that we've taken specific portions in the Bible today and have for years. And we've dedicated or donated them or put them off into the children's church section or we've put them off into the little kiddie Sunday school room or we've displayed those things on some kind of a flannelgraph board. And what I'm talking about is this portion that we just read where all the little kiddie songs and everything that was written about, you know, the house being built upon the rock and then the wise man. The unwise built his house upon the sand. But I'm going to tell you something. That's more than just a little kiddie song. It's more than just a little children's church theme or a flannel graph lesson. That's good Bible doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. And it's good for grown-ups. It's good for old people and young people and middle-aged people. It's some good doctrine and some good ideas in here that Jesus gave that we are to kindly follow. Right? I personally don't want or know a human alive today that cannot benefit greatly from the scriptures that we've read. I don't know a person alive that can't benefit from these two passages. Matthew 7:28, Jesus is trying to give us something that is eternally, something solid that will keep us from being destroyed from without and from within. He's trying to tell us how to weather storms in our life. He's trying to tell us how to have a good home. He's trying to tell us how to live happily ever after. And it's just good, sound teachings and doctrine. If there's anything Christ wants me and you to have today, I believe he wants us to have a good home. I believe he wants us to have harmony in our home. I believe he wants us to have unity in our home. I believe he wants us to have love in our home. I believe he wants to see the homes in America and the homes all across the world stand and stand strong for Jesus. I believe he wants to see the homes standing on the promises of God and established on the Word of God. And I believe he wants to see the homes thrive in the name of Jesus. I believe that. If there's anything, I believe it starts down there at the home. Amen. If you'll read the scriptures, you're going to see what I'm talking about all through your Bible. Job said this. I mean, you go back to Job. They said it's the oldest book written. This is what Job said. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So he said, you're going to have storms, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white, purple, or green, or black. It don't make no difference. I don't care if you're rich or poor or pretty or ugly or skinny or fat. Everybody that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Son, trouble is coming your way. I'm not here to preach a doom and gloom message. I'm just here to tell you the truth that storms come your way and the trials of life will come your way. And Jesus is trying to tell us how to withstand these storms. There's storms that we all must go through. There's hardships. There's dark days that we must all endure. And I'm just glad that we don't have to go it alone. We have a God that promised his children, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen. One of the storms that we face, and that's what I want to look at, some of the storms in life. I want to look at the storm of trouble. One of the storms that we go through is the storms of trouble. You have to understand, some people, listen, I don't want to offend nobody, but I just want to be honest with you. I want you to be able to see if I can just share some truth with you out of the Word of God. Some people marry into trouble. That's right. I mean, they just find them a spouse that ain't nothing but trouble. That's right. And causes them trouble. Boy, we could tell story after story on people that's got into trouble once they got married. Sometimes people give birth to trouble. I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow, but their kids, I mean, they give birth and to their little kid. And boy, it's hard to imagine that when they're just little old babies bouncing on your lap, gooing and agogging, and they're throwing up on you and jerking your necklaces off, that one of these days they're going to grow up and be a dope head. They're going to probably grow up and walk the streets and give their body over to some old fag. It's hard to imagine. But I'm telling you, son, that's trouble when you try to pillow your head at night and you don't know where your kids are and they're out in the world somewhere giving themselves over to the flesh. I'm telling you, that's trouble. And some people just give birth to trouble. That's right. Trouble. You're going to face some trouble. One of the storms that we face, ladies and gentlemen, is trouble. Hey, listen. I'm telling you, there's a many of mamas last night that pillowed their head that didn't sleep much because Junior was out there in the world somewhere. And mama don't know where he's at. And daddy don't know where he's at. But they know he's up to no good. And they tossed and tore all night long. I'm telling you, you better have a hold of a God that can help you through them troubled times. Sure. God's trying to tell us how. You know what? Sometimes you don't have to marry trouble. You don't even have to birth trouble. I mean, sometimes you can just be minding your own business and trouble's just going to find you. That's right. Trouble will hunt you down, friend. It's going to come to where you at. You didn't ask for it. Man, you just trying to do your job, trying to mind your own business, and out of nowhere, here comes trouble into your life. That's right, boy. But here's what I found out by reading the Bible. We got a God that's a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. I thank God for that. If you overcome these troubles, if you're a child of God, there's some things that you're going to have to do to be able to overcome them. There's some things that you and I are going to have to do to overcome the storms of life. And these are the doctrines. This is the idea that Jesus is trying to give us. The first thing I noticed that this guy did, in order to build a house, in order to have something that was able to withstand the storms, the first thing I noticed in these passages, this man dug deep. Amen. This man dug deep. Now, I like to preach the typical little, no, I wouldn't. It makes me sick. I'm trying my best not to preach it. I'm trying my best not to go that way. I mean, you could have turned your radio this morning coming down the road and listened to a half a dozen preachers that give you another message on encouragement. But man, I'm telling you, here's one of the problems. People aren't digging deep. If you're going to withstand the storms, you're going to have to dig deep. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about it's going to take more out of you than just a Sunday morning service. It's going to take more than just a Sunday at the house of God. I promise you, if you're going to withstand the storms of life, if you're going to handle the troubles that come your way, you better have something on Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. You're going to have to dig in that Word. You're going to have to get in that book and get settled in the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's going to carry us through our troubles. Yeah. And I'm telling you, one of the biggest reasons why people are collapsing and falling in trouble is because they ain't digging deep in the Word of God. Got to go deep. I believe if you're going to overcome these troubles, you're going to have to go deeper than a Sunday service. I believe you're going to have to read your Bible daily and have a normal prayer life. It's so tempting to get a house dried in today. It's tempting to get a house get the roof and the windows and the doors. A lot of times, man, just being the builder that I've done in the past and knowing the stuff that I know, a lot of times when you go to frame a house, man, you can get the roof on, you can get the felt on the roof, you can get the window set in the house, you can get the door set in the house, and everybody seems to kind of be impressed with that. So, boy, man, because it looks like you made a lot of progress when you did all that framework, and it went up quick, and everything just seemed to come together kind of fast. But if the foundation, ladies and gentlemen, ain't right, then the house won't be right.
Yeah.
You know, we put an emphasis on what it looks like on the outside. We put an emphasis on all the fixtures and everything that's hanging around. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus said you're going to have to go deeper than the windows. You're going to have to do more than put doors. You're going to have to dig deep and build a foundation and get something for this thing to stand on. Amen. It's the Word of God. And some years ago, Mama's in here. She can remember it. But some years ago, over here on Silas Creek, you can go over there even today and see what I'm talking about to an extent. They built quite a few businesses over there, Michael. And you ride down the road just below Forsyth Tech over there, and you can see all the productivity and all the progress. And man, everybody was happy because there was several new businesses coming along. And man, it just added to the area, and it was going to bring in money and be a good revenue. And boy, when they got them buildings built, they was nice, beautiful buildings. And they had all the fixtures and all the hangings. They had all the same glass. And I'm telling you, when you sit back and look at them, it looked like every other building over there except newer and nicer. Didn't take but just a little bit of time. Somebody noticed a crack going across one of the floors over there. It wasn't long before that crack became a gap. And I'm talking about it wasn't just this building, it was that one, and it was the next one, and it was the next one. It was the one in front of them, it was the one behind them, and those cracks began to open up. And then the next thing you know, those floors began to shift, and they began to sink, and one part would be higher than the other part. And then the next thing you know, you could ride down the road, and you'd see the glass on the front that was twisted, and the building may be leaning to the north or south, maybe the east or west, just all different kind of directions. Little did everybody know that the foundation wasn't right. See what they done? They went over and built them nice buildings, had them fixed up and dressed up. They looked good on the outside, but they built it on a trash heap. They built it on an old trash place. And after a while, the foundation gave away, and you began to see what it was all about, and it couldn't stand the test of time. So many times in our life, man, I'm telling you about makes you sick. We get the outside of this whole thing fixed up. Man, we know how to smile. We know how to tote our Bibles, and we know all the right words, and we know what not to say. We know how to smile and put on a front. But I'm telling you, that foundation is weak, and that foundation is rotten, and a little bit of storm can come our way, and we'll fold under the pressure of the troubles. And I'm telling you, it seems like the whole world gets turned upside down. Our testimony gets ruined, and people go, "What in the world happened?" I'll tell you what happened. They didn't dig in the Word of God. They showed up for Sunday school. They showed up for church. They carried their Bible. They put on the right clothes, but they didn't dig in the Word of God. They didn't get a foundation, and when trouble came, it rocked them outside the world. Right, they crumble, they collapse. It wasn't long before the place become unsuitable over there. The place came unsafe. It wasn't long before they had to close the doors on those businesses, and they had to abandon those businesses, and people weren't welcome in because they were declared unsafe. I'm just saying, it's the same thing in our life. If we don't have the right foundation, I'm telling you, it's an unsafe place to dwell. Not safe to live this life without Jesus. It's not safe to live this life outside the Word of God. I'm telling you, bud, you ought to get that thing settled. Amen. Folks, we don't have too much of this today. But we've got too much of it. We've built churches off of false professions. Amen. We've built churches off of false professions. I mean, the place looks good. The parking lot's full. All the seats are full. I mean, the people are all kind of happy. And everybody's posted their pictures on social media. But I'm telling you, bud, we've made people a twofold, a child of hell. We've got them to pray a prayer. We've whitewashed them with and we've cried peace when there was no peace. And I'm telling you, it don't take long to see them back out in the world. Because that seed fell on the wrong kind of ground and they didn't get the seed put in a deep place. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Way too often we see churches built off of false professions. What is that? That's that trash pile. Amen. That's building churches on top of a trash pile. Just like them buildings was built on an old trash pile. A church built on false professions. That ain't nothing but a weak foundation. It's going to crumble. It's going to fall. I'm telling you, we build churches off of transplants. Very seldom do you see people get families saved anymore. Oh God, give us some people that want to get born again. Give us some power of God. Give us some conviction. Give us the word of God sown in the sinner's heart, that a sinner might come to church and be born again. Listen, I'm telling you, these transplants, they take from this church and that church and that church and that church, and they call it their church. That's not how you build the church. That's how they do today. Steal everybody else's members. One of the greatest moves in our church. You look at people, and I hate to even mention some of these names, but some of them, and I'm not going to mention their names, but you look at some of them places, they build them $1 million churches and multi-million dollar buildings, I'll say. And there's people that's been going to church at that little country church all their life. But they want to be part of that big multi-million dollar establishment over there, that business that's going on. And I'm telling you, man, they've done it left and right. They've drawn these people out of these little old country churches, maybe with a pastor that loves them, a pastor that cares about them, a pastor that'll tell them the truth. But people are attracted to what looks like success is a big building and fancy cars and lots of money. I'm telling you, to build your church off of transplants is a trash pile. It won't stand. It won't stand the test of time. Yeah. How about all that musical? I thank God for good godly music. But I absolutely hate and despise ungodly music. Let me say this to you. And I don't want to get off too far on this, but God hates worldly music, ladies and gentlemen. And here's what we've done, even in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church today. We found out that kids like a little beat, and kids like a rhythm, and kids like to tap their, and these idiots like to bob their head, and they like to shake their bodies. And I'm telling you, for some reason we said, well, we can take that beat, we can take that rhythm, we can take that tune, and throw a little bit of the gospel in there with it, and we can appeal to these kids. We can attract these children. Let me tell you something. You might do that, but that's building a foundation on a trash pile. That's building on a trash pile. There is a tune that God loves. There is a rhythm that God loves. There is a beat that God accepts. But I can promise you one thing. They ain't one drop of DNA from this world going to have itself into the music of God. It ain't the world's beat. It ain't the world's rhythm. It ain't the world's music. Jesus loves holiness. Amen. He said, come out from among this world and be separate, saith the Lord. I'm telling you, if it's going to please the Lord, it's going to have to be holy. It's going to have to be of faith. Amen. Sure, it's an ungodly mess. We're building these churches and we're sucking in these young people because we're entertaining their flesh and we're giving them music that appeases their flesh. I ain't never heard no contemporary music that was worth spitting on anyway. Amen. Amen.
Never in my life, for God in heaven's sake, I can't stand the Beatles. But if I'm going to listen to rock and roll, I want to listen to AC/DC. If I'm going to listen to music, I want to hear Dolly Parton. I might want to hear me some old country singer. Oh, but I'm telling you, that ain't pleasing to God. That beat ain't pleasing to God. Them words ain't pleasing to God. Oh, there's nothing wrong with blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that. Amen. You can take the right music and honor God with it. But we've built these little old churches today off of this contemporary worship. And this, let me tell you what it is. It's, first of all, you break that word down, it's a stinking con. All right, it's fooling every stinking body. And then it's temporary. It won't last. Amen. Contemporary. It won't last. It's here for one moment, gone the next. And I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a bunch of PCP freaks. I sat around a bunch of sodomites, loving and kissing on each other, popping LSD and doing acid. And they come around and they start doing their little old hippie music and throwing Jesus in on it. And we've got a bunch of godless freaks today. Built their faith on sinking sand that's latching on to this mess. I'm telling you, it's going to fall. It won't stand the storms. It won't stand the storms. Oh, God, it won't stand the troubles of life. God help. Listen, why do you think so many of them's going by the way of sodomites and everything else? If you're to keep up with the people that's writing these songs, most of them are a bunch of sodomites and everything else. Sure, they promote divorce. They promote everything outside of God. I mean, it blows my mind, friend, but I read articles about these people, and now they've got kids advertising that divorce is okay. You hear me? I'm telling you, they got their kids now, and they're advertising that God's all in every bit of it, that God wanted their mom and dad to split up so that they could be a blessing to some other man and woman in their life. I'm telling you, friend, that junk's destroying America, and it will not stand in the troubles of life. Won't stand, buddy. Won't carry you through it. Amen. Hey, that's why suicide's where it's at. That's why teen suicide's where it's at. Hey, that's why we're in the shape that we're in, because we have built on sinking sand. Amen. I say to you that Jesus is the foundation in which we build. Jesus is the foundation in which we stand. The Bible said he was the chief cornerstone. Oh, he's a stumbling block to the Jew. But I'm glad, thank God, God set him to be the head of the corner. And he's precious, amen. He is the chief cornerstone. He's blessed God, the rock to come and rolling out of Babylon. I'm telling you, he's the one that they nailed to a cross and got up 3 days later. Wow, thank God, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You say, preacher, what are you standing on? I'm standing on Jesus. I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm standing on the promises. Thank God, everything else is sinking sand. Sure it is. Sinner friend, if you sidestep Jesus, you've missed it all. If you bypass Christ, you've bypassed everything that means anything. If you sidestep Jesus Christ, you're surely going to fail. You cannot stand without Jesus. You're going to fall short in the world. You're going to end up in the pit. Your feet are on a slippery place. You can't bypass Jesus. You can't get around Jesus and get by. Can't stand outside of him. This world cannot provide you the means to escape. There ain't enough money in the world to get out of the fall. No. There ain't enough money in the world to get you out of the troubles of life. There ain't enough money. There ain't enough. There ain't enough. There ain't enough girls in the world to appease the boys and to solve all their troubles. There ain't enough boys to settle it in the girl where she'll have no trouble. I'm telling you, the only thing that works is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all that'll take care of your troubles. Amen. Amen. I don't care what it is. If it's not based upon the Word, if it's not based upon Jesus, you'll never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. He's the only thing that can satisfy. I don't have to come in here and preach no new gospel to you. It's still Jesus, thank God. 2015 years later, it's still Jesus. Oh boy, I'm telling you, 4,030 years, if you're still here, in 2015 more years, it'll be 4,030. Let me tell you what it's going to be that's going to carry that world through. It's going to be Jesus. It's going to be the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's the promises of God. It's standing in that Word and standing there with Him that's going to carry you through the troubles of life. It's always been Jesus. Always will be Jesus. Amen. If you build your house on this world's provisions, it's going to surely fail. But if you build it upon Jesus, He'll satisfy the longing of your soul. And your home will stand for all eternity. Amen. It'll stand. If you just build it on Jesus. And that's something. No big, deep, dark secret. I'm just saying, when trouble comes, you better be standing on the rock of ages. Better have something underneath you. That's right. They say that old boy got an awful big talk, man. They must be somebody backing him up. I come to tell you this morning that I do have somebody backing me up. It's called the Word of God. Amen. That's where we at. That's what I'm standing on. I stand on the authority of God's Word. I say what I say because that's what God's Word says. Amen. I'm backed up by that Word. That's right. That's right. If I ain't backed up by that Word, you need to check it out and let me know. Amen. Preacher, you wasn't right about that. I know most preachers don't want you showing them nothing in the Bible, but if I'm wrong, won't you show me I'm wrong? Amen. I want to get it right. I'd like to get it right. Hey, the next time you're in a public place, listen, I'm talking about these troubles, these storms. The next time you're in a public place and you go to say the blessing, you don't have to wipe your forehead and, you know, say that prayer. Well, thank you, truth, amen. You know what I'm saying? You know, people just go, oh, Father, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the food. You don't have to be ashamed. Next time, I don't believe in going in nobody's place of business and taking over. I don't believe that's right. But I'm telling you what, bud, I think God's people ought to be able to bow their head with some dignity. Thank God, knowing that they're standing on Jesus Christ, and let this old wicked, lost and dying world know there's a crowd in town that believes in Jesus, is standing on the promises, and they believe what they say they believe, and they love God like they say they love Him. And you ought to be able to lift up your hands and say, thank God, thank you, Lord, for the food we're about to eat. Right? Ain't gonna be ashamed of it. You never know. It might be that server that's waiting on you. I mean, if you'll do it right. I think about it, Zach. If you'll do it right and bow your head and act like you got some sense and pray to your Father and thank God in a sincere way and thank God in a way that you really mean it. Don't just done. I think sometimes our little old prayers offend Him more than anything. Thank you, Lord. But I mean, man, wouldn't it be something sometime if you were sincere and you wasn't putting on a show, you wasn't praying like the Pharisees, and maybe your server, she'd come out of the kitchen when you played, or he, whoever it was, and they seen you with your head bowed, maybe as a family, maybe as just sitting there all alone, and you never know, they might have come out of a home with a praying mama or a praying daddy, and they've went out and got crazy in the world, and man, they turn that corner and see a family over there praying, and all them memories come back, and that convention gets in their own, and they go, man, I wish I could hear mama pray again. I remember when my daddy used to kneel his head, bow his head at the table and say that blessing. You never know what it might do for somebody if you just stand for Jesus. Amen. Just stand for Jesus. Never know. I'm just talking about having a little depth in your Christian life. Going deep. That's what this guy done. He dug deep. Amen. We have enough shallow Christians today. Way too many shallow. And I ain't talking about smart and ignorant. I ain't smart and stupid. I ain't talking about that. Lord God, I'd be at the bottom of that totem pole.
But Satan has waged war against us, ladies and gentlemen. He's waged war against the church. He's absolutely waged war against our homes. He's waged war against our children. Way too many of us are falling into the snares because all people's got anymore is just a little old shallow shout. Well, we went to church Sunday and we shouted. Let me tell you something. I've been in a lot of churches, but I've seen some. They didn't have a whole lot of shouting going on. I think you're to have a shout. I think your music ought to have a little something to it. I think you're to put a little something into it. But I'm telling you, I've been in them churches, Michael, where all they did have was a shout. And the first trouble in life comes, and they sink so low in a valley, and they go 40 steps back on God. I've also seen them sit there and get rooted and grounded in the Word of God and not put on a bunch of fleshly shows or wear out a bunch of emotionalism, but I've seen them stay strong and true and faithful to the things of God. Amen. Rooted in that word, son. Rooted. I say we better renew our minds daily and die to ourselves daily and walk in the Spirit of God daily and fulfill not the lust of this flesh daily. Otherwise, we won't make it through the troubles of this life. You don't learn how to renew your mind. You don't learn how to, that's right, you don't learn how to destroy, die to this old flesh. You don't learn how to walk in the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, you won't make it long in the troubles of this life. They'll overtake you. How about the storms of temptations? How about the storms of trials? There's storms of trials that come our way. Well, Paul said, you know what? I'm going to be the same tomorrow as I am today. Amen. That was his testimony. I'll be the same next time you see me. I'm going to tell you what he was. He was standing on the promises of God. He knew that his life was in danger. He knew trials was coming his way. But I'm telling you, bud, he was able to stand on the authority of God's word and say, sin shall not have dominion over me. All right, I'm going to come out of this thing. When you see me tomorrow, I might be going through some trials. But I'm telling you, be the same God in the midst of my trial as he is in the same God in the midst of these troubles. Sure. Then there's storms of temptations. We've discussed it, even said something about it in Sunday school. We've discussed these common temptations. But let me give you something another preacher said. He said, when temptation knocks at your door, now get this, I mean, this is probably better than anything I got to say. That's why I stole it. He said, if temptation comes and knocks at your door, you better not let the flesh go answer it. I said, boy, that's pretty good. Because temptation's coming. Listen, it's coming. It's common to man, ladies and gentlemen, to be tempted. It's common. We're tempted. Everybody is. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You better learn how to let that spiritual man answer that door instead of that fleshly man. That fleshly man answers that door, you're going to be in a world of trouble, friend. Hey, it's happening all around us. You hear me? I'm telling you, you better make sure that you learn how to die to yourself and walk in the Spirit. I'm saying temptations are coming. When they come, beat upon your life, even to the point to where you're battered and torn. Do you hear me? Look up that word vehement. That word vehement ain't kind. It ain't sweet and soft and tender. That word, but vehement, that water, that wind, that rain, it was coming against that person's life to absolutely destroy. That storm was there to destruct. That storm was there to absolutely demolish and tear out. Vehement, strong, beat, battered, just pound and pound. I'm telling you, sometimes that's the way the temptations of life are. Man, I'm telling you, by the time you overcome some temptation today, listen, tomorrow morning when you get up, it seems like that junk just starts all over again. I'm telling you, bud, it just beats and beats and beats. And the harder you try to live for God and the more you try to aim toward God, it seems like the harder them temptations come. And man, I'm telling you, it's all you can do sometimes to stand. But I'm glad, thank God, he gave us what we need to stand. Better make sure you're standing on a sure foundation. Because outside of Jesus, it's all sinking sand. It's all just sinking sand. How about the storms of death? Storms of death. Not just the storms of trials and storms of death.
How many times I've heard a person say after losing a spouse, man, I'm lost without him or her. That person was my rock. You know how many people I've seen absolutely go, their life go into a complete tailspin when their spouse died? I've seen people that was decent people, hardworking people. I've seen them lose their spouse and their life get turned up. I'm talking about the storms of death, buddy. That stuff's tough on a human being. You hear me? When they lose somebody that's very precious to them, when they lose somebody that's that close to their heart, it's tough when you face the storms of death. I've seen people fall apart after losing a loved one. I know it's hard. It's a hard storm to weather, but thank God Jesus Christ can help you weather that storm. Yeah. He can. I've seen people turn to booze and try to drink it away. I've seen people go get high and try to float it away. I've seen them try to go get other women and sex it away. I've seen them try every method known to man. Son, ain't nothing worse but Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I've told about that old girl how many times, but I'll never forget Miss Stephanie being down there in Mississippi, and that little old girl on her way to school when the train hit her and killed her. I'll never get over, never forget. Don't even want to, how her mama stood out there in the parking lot of that hospital and cried out to God. I'll never forget that scream she made to God. Oh, God, why? God, why? Oh, I'll never forget Michael standing over there in the funeral home, and I kept my mouth shut, man. I didn't know I had three boys. I didn't have a clue what it was like to lose a kid. I didn't know what to say to that woman. I wanted to make sure whatever came out of my mouth came from the Lord. I sat by her over at the funeral home as people came by and heard some of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. One person said, just accept it and go on. Don't ask God why. Man, it's just something about that just hit me wrong. And I went, this is her 18-year-old daughter. This is her only daughter. It just don't seem right. Abraham was able to ask why. Jesus was able to ask why. Mm-hmm. Why in the world couldn't this mama know something? And boy, I'm telling you, it stayed on me. Somebody said, preacher, why don't you say something? You've been here for 2 days and you ain't said a word. And I said, I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say to a mama? It's lost her daughter after 18 years. Let the Lord tell me something to say. Maybe I can open my mouth. Stood up down there at that funeral home with a burden in my heart. God told me what to say. And I just excluded everybody from that funeral. Probably over 500 people in that place. And excluded everybody from that funeral. And looked at that mama and pulled her up. I said, ma'am, I said, here's what I want to tell you. God told me to tell you that you crawl off somewhere and you make sure your spirit's right with Him. But you ask God why. You ask God why. God wants you to know. God wants to take this and use this and help you and draw you. God will let you know why if you'll just be right and ask Him. I'm not standing on the promises, buddy. All I know is this, Zach. I don't know if she did or she didn't, but I know this. If she would have done what God sent her to do, I believe He'd have helped her through the trouble, through the storm of death. That's right. I believe He would have helped her in that time of death like nobody else could. Because I can promise you, I didn't hear anybody that said anything that was going to make this thing better. And nothing's going to make it go away. Son, I'll tell you, God sure can take and use it, turn it around and get some glory out of it somehow, some way. Only God knows. Amen. Well, you understand when God designed man... When God designed man, God never designed man to die. When God made man in the image and likeness of God, you know God made man with all intentions to live forever. Do you know Adam should still be alive today? Moses should still be alive. What was the one who lives along? Methuselah? He should still be alive today. 3,000 years old, he should still be alive. You want to know why they ain't? The wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. All the rest of them will be alive. God created man to live and live in peace and tranquility, but sin brought forth death. God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to overcome death. And he came that we might have life. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's something. The second Adam had to come and give his life to redeem us and restore unto us the life that sin took from us. Oh, God, help us. How are you going to keep from falling into sin? I'm so glad you asked. Preacher, I don't want to sin. But man, it seems like when I do good, evil's always present. How am I supposed to abstain and then not fall into sin? Oh, there was one old boy by the name of David. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I'm so glad, thank God, for the word of God, church. It's the promises of God. It's everything to me. Oh, I ain't got nothing within me, but thank God what Jesus put in me. I can't overcome sin, but through the word of God, we are more than conquerors. Through the word of God, we can overcome this sin. Word have I hid in my heart? I'm trying to tell you. Be sure your foundation is in the book that we call the Bible. That's right. Make sure your foundation's in that book. This whole world's telling you all kind of stupid stuff today. And if you're not careful, you're liable to believe it. Let me ask you something today. What's you built on? What's your life built on? What's your hope built on? What's your future? What's it built on? It's amazing how in those buildings over there on Silas Creek that they look just like all the other buildings in that area. You know, Mama, here's what I think about, and you can remember those buildings, but I think about them sinkholes down there in Florida. I think about how they go in these neighborhoods and they do all the grading and they do all these foundations and here comes the carpenters and they start framing those houses and the final man comes in, the brick masons are in and all the fixtures go into the house and here you got a subdivided neighborhood and man, they're all just a beautiful community. All these houses are looking just exactly alike. One day these homeowners come home to find that their house is absolutely gone. Gone. Sitting and built on top of a sinkhole. Built on top of sinking sand. And all of a sudden, I mean, man, they look just like everything else. I mean, it's just normal. I mean, there's no telling how many, treasures they have in that home that absolutely means. I'm talking about like children, you hear? I'm talking about the things that God's put into our life, the things God's put into this house, the things that God's given us. And we built our future on sinking sand. We built our families on sinking sand. We built our life on sinking sand. And everything seems to be running on course. And it looks good. Everything's functioning. All of a sudden, one day, the ground opens up. And your life collapses. I'm saying that we have this life and all that goes with it. We have our wife, we have our children, we have our family and friends. But if you don't have Jesus, if you're not standing on the rock of ages, then it can all be destroyed in just one simple storm. That's all. All it takes is one storm to come beat vehemently upon your life. All of our excuses, ladies and gentlemen, all of our logic, all our ideas, all of our dreams and hopes, all the plans can be destroyed in an instant if they're not built upon the rock. I want Jesus to give me some dreams. Amen. I want Jesus to give me some plans. I want to fulfill the ideas of Jesus Christ. Amen. Them's the ones that's going to matter. Them's the ones that's going to say, there's two houses. In our text, one stood and the other fell. Two houses. The passages tell us that these storms were vehement. And it wasn't just one storm. If you read it, they were plural. The waters came. It wasn't just water came and beat a pallet. There was water upon water upon water. It was winds, wind upon wind, storm after storm after storm. And I'm telling you, just pound, 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 till after a while, the one that was built on sinking sand collapsed. When I was in Mississippi, we had storms, man. I mean, they were ugly, scary storms. I'll never forget the first few times I started seeing storms down there. It's like, I don't know, Tornado Alley, you know, coming through Louisiana and Mississippi and going up through Kansas. And I mean, it's just crazy. And man, I was scared because they had so much history through there, bad storms. And we'd have a storm coming in over there. And Michael, it was almost like those clouds were so big and black and low that you could actually read. I mean, they were just right on top of you, man. It was like, golly, they were, you remember? Scary looking storms. And I mean, I was scared of them. Man, it's bad. Never seen no clouds like that gather. I remember one Wednesday, it seemed like we always had storms on Wednesday, but it was a Wednesday. We had a storm and we had metal roof on the church. Had a big old church building, big old fellowship hall, and a decent little, what's that thing called? Parsonage? One of them things, and where they could put the preacher in and put him out and do whatever they want to with him. It was kind of like a preacher in a box, Jack in a box. They got a preacher in a box over there. But anyway, the storm came on a Wednesday night, and it blew, if I'm not mistaken, it blew about three of the shingles off of the fellowship hall. The storm came, and the winds blew. I mean, it was bad, man. I mean, there was stuff flying everywhere, but it blew about three shingles, maybe five, but I remember three being blown off the roof of that fellowship hall. Insurance adjuster came out, took a look at it, and lo and behold, they gave us enough money off of three shingles blowing off of that roof to put metal roof on the whole place. And it was big. You remember? I mean, they paid. I went, are you kidding? Man, I started jerking shingles off the house. I was going, hey, y'all missed some. They some. No. You know what? Every once in a while, the storms of life will come and they'll just rip some junk out of your life. I know that's kind of basic and simple, but it is what it is, and it's, you know, it's real to me, and it's things that's happened in my life, and I can relate some of this stuff to, you know, life, and I thought how the storms of life will come and rip some, how the devil will send storms, how this whole world and this life will hand you some troubles, and how it destroys stuff in your life. But you know what? Jesus will come along. Amen. And he'll fix you up better than you've ever been, son. I mean, he'll take this old thing right here and, man, he'll turn it into something. He'll do something for you that the world could never do. I'm telling you, everything that the devil threw at you in the midst of those storms, Jesus can take and give it back to you and more. Amen. He'll restore you. That's our God. He'll put a new roof on it for you. Amen. I mean, I could have probably fixed it for, $20, but they gave us enough to put metal on the whole thing. I say this world wants to destroy your home. They want to destroy your life, but God is able to save your home and give you life. Everything we have should be built on the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. If you make much of the Word of God, and I'm going to hurry up and be done. If you make much of the Word of God, I promise you something. He'll make much out of you. If you will make much of the Word of God, Jesus Christ will make much out of you. Out of you. Maybe not of you, but out of you. Amen. So that's right. Hey, young person, if the young people would get in the Word of God, you know what would happen if young people got into the Word of God? They'd start agreeing with their moms and dads. Amen. You want to know why kids want to buck up against mom and dad? Because they hate the Word of God. They won't obey it. They won't listen to it. They won't read it. They won't be part of it. They'll line up with mom and dad if they get in that book. It'll change your life. That's right. Husbands and wives, if you'll get in that book, I promise you God will put some harmony in your home. He'll put the honey back into your mood. He just does. Amen. Because he intended on it to be that way.
And you can have that through the Word of God. If moms and dads would get together in that Word of God, God would do things for them. And if them children would get in the Word of God, He would do things for them. And you can see a family, thank God, thrive for Jesus and live a Spirit-filled family life. Amen. It's attainable. Golly. Can I say one more thing? Yeah. Some of you look like you're about dead. I'm sorry. You see who the Bible says it is that builds on sand? Zach, who's the Bible say built their house on the sand? A fool. Fool. The fool. It takes a fool to build your house on the sand. You're a fool for not building on Jesus. That's what the Bible's saying. You're foofing. I know that's harsh. Hey, listen. Why do you think there's a CVS and a Walgreens on every stinking corner? Because they built their house on the sand. They built their life on the sand. They built their dreams on the sand. And I'm telling you, that stuff is collapsing, ladies and gentlemen. People look like everybody else. They got their smiles. They got their fancy cars. They got their nice clothes. They got their big houses. But I'm telling you, bud, their life is sinking and sinking and sinking. And they have to take pills to find a happy medium just so they ain't so high or so they ain't so low. And they have to take pills to sleep and take pills to cope. And take pills to get along. I'm telling you, it ain't about Jesus. But Jesus Christ, thank God. He'll take the mess that you got, man, and I'm telling you, He'll give you hope. I'm going to quit. I don't ever finish, but I'm going to quit. People are living the American dream. I've known people that do very well in life, but have to take a pill for about everything they do. You know, people can't even focus anymore without taking a pill.
Yeah.
It's hard to take a test in school without, well, we got to take a pill. If you just take your life and put it over there in the Word of God, amen. Get in that book. Put your feet upon Jesus and stand upon that rock of ages. I'm telling you, buddy, Jesus will help you. He'll pull that focus in here. Ain't nobody in this world got more focus problems than me, man. I can bounce with the best of them. But I'm telling you what, I can take that precious Word of God. And even when I take the Word of God, don't think it don't happen. When I take that Word, my mind wants to drift and wander and go. But I'm telling you, if you'll just stay with that Word, when God starts turning the lights on, boy, I'm telling you, everything just starts closing out. Amen. And that thing just starts getting real big and good and real. Amen. Get real focused.